The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tubridy with you. It's Monday morning, the 9th of March 2020. We're here till 10 o'clock. The text number is 51551. You can email Ryan at rte.ie. We were just exchanging stories of going into various shops over the weekend, and it's the poor people behind the counter who are, you know, they might have a regular cold and they're snuffing into their, and then they're wiping it, and then they take the money. And I think the advice was given to me by a guy who works behind the counter was tap everything. Tap your way through life with your card. Even if it's 1 euro and 3 cent, tap. Even if it's for a packet of polos, if people still buy polos, tap. Just tap, tap, tap. Tap like you're Fred Astaire with a credit card. Just get your way through life without having to put your hand in your pocket to get the coins. Imagine coins. Everywhere I see, everything I see, I'm everything's filth. I mean, what's wrong? What's happening? I'm not that bad. I have never been this bad. But there's a lot of scrubbing going on at the house, and pots and pans and walls and doorknobs and light switches. And well, I suppose it's because of the nature of the job. I'm dealing with people, as I was on Friday night, with people who were telling us what to do, and you're just taking the advice. But I was in a shop yesterday, and God, one poor fellow, what he didn't do into his hand and half his arm and then into the pocket. And I said, okay, kid, we're gone. We just left. I'm not buying something. I can't. And I think it's probably totally over the top and excessive. But then you listen to the constant warnings and the fact that possibly up to 1.9 million of us will have this virus in the coming few weeks, and you have to be serious about it. And then you see Australia in the supermarket where two women are in court. Why? Because they were fighting over toilet paper in a supermarket in this rush for beans and toilet paper. I mean, they're connected, it could be said, but there seems to be a scarcity on both. They had to call police to this shop in Sydney because of this fight over toilet paper. This is what it's come to. I mean, it would be funny if it wasn't so real. Australia has been affected by panic buying of supplies, particularly toilet paper, due to the fears of the spread of coronavirus. And this is what happened. The policeman turned around and said, there's no need for this. I was going to do an accent, I'm not going to bother. There's no need for this. It's not thunder. It's not the Thunderdome, he said, giving a nice native reference. It's not Mad Max. We don't need to do this. The two women, by the way, were aged 23 and 60, so there was no necessarily age limit to the craziness that can go on. But that's what's happened. They're going to be in court now and might even get the virus from sitting on the seat that's covering it. You know, swings and roundabouts. Hand sanitizers. There's another mad headline from breakingnews.ie. Hand sanitizers are selling for more than 5,000% above recommended UK prices online. I'm not even going to get into it. It's so preposterous, but it's true. And then, on a slightly more serious note, and again, importantly, the charity Alone, wonderful charity in this country, has launched a support line for older people who are concerned about the coronavirus. That's good. It'll be open between 8 and 8 from Monday to Friday, and they've emphasised that everyone is welcome to call, which is lovely, and volunteers are committed to ensuring every older person has access to essential products and services. That's a good news story, that they're minding our older citizens who might be concerned. Well done to Sean Moynihan. He's the CEO of Alone, and says they're working in collaboration with the Department of Health, and the support line will address any reassurances that are needed that they may have, and to maintain contact as necessary. And they say that you should call 112 is the strange three-digit number. 999 for major emergencies, but 112 seems to be the only number I have there if you want to get in touch on that front. But again, Alone, good charity, kind people doing very, very nice things. Unkind people were out and about on Friday night. We had Barry Keoghan and Niamh Alger, two wonderful young actors in the Cam with Horses is an Irish film that they're in. Wonderful guest to have on. I hadn't met Niamh or her family before, but she was an absolute star and a delightful person with that. And as is, I'll come back to that number now in a second, but as is Barry Keoghan, who from the moment I've met, I've absolutely become completely enamoured by, because he's one of the good, just life's good people. Come through a tough old run of things in his life, but come out the other side with extraordinary class and star quality. And he has a strange way about him. when he comes on the TV because he's nervous. He's not the same off air as he is on air because he gets a little nervous and he has this way that's just a little different. One of my favourite things in the world are people who are just a little different. And he has that. And he came on, he did the entry, and he was just magnificent. And you saw his granny in the audience, his auntie and his sister and his brilliant Kerry girlfriend, Shona. They're a great bunch of people, and they're tight, they're close, and they're fun. And the mean people, and I wonder if, I don't know if you're one of those people who made comments online about people like Barry or whatever. Just know this, you think you're going to be smart, and you think you might be funny, but you're not. You're actually being cruel. And you're being nasty, and you're being reductive, and you're being everything we shouldn't be as human beings. Now, I'm very lucky that I don't have to read this muck, but those of you who are peddling it, be aware that you won't bring down the good guys, because they'll always come through, people like Barry and the like. You might do a bit of damage temporarily around the edges, and if that's your kick, congratulations, you got your kick. But just think about what we've been talking about online, vis-a-vis Caroline Flack and vis-a-vis Owen McDermott, brilliantly on the Late Late Show recently. These are people who actually read things. These are people with emotions, and they're people with families. And for you to do what you do is so grotesque. I'd love to hold a mirror up against you just to see for a second, do you know what you're doing? Because it's just nasty. And you're as bad as the bully in a schoolyard. And that's all I say. Pause for thought for a second. And before you go writing that, whether you're half jarred or off your face on tea, I don't care what it is, or totally sober, think for 1 minute, would you say the things you've just written to your daughter or to your nephew or to your mother or to any other human being who is just getting on with their lives? Just think twice about that, because it's nasty. And Barry came back into the green room afterwards, and we had a lovely hour or two with his family, and his granny sang a couple of gorgeous ballads because he's a family man and he's a good guy, and we had a lovely time, and his star is ascending, and it's only going to get higher. I'm very terribly fond of him, and I don't like anyone coming near people who are good in a nasty way. So that's for food for thought for the nasty people listening this morning. Just would you just think twice before you start committing stuff to your phone or wherever the hell you're doing it for online, because there's a good side to this, like Twitter, where we had the Valentine show and somebody was showing me all the funny things that are happening after. This is not anti-Twitter, it's just anti-cruelty. Okay, humans are not blood sport. It really bothers me, you know that it does, but I'll stop there now. Interestingly enough, on another story entirely, Woody Allen, I mentioned him last week, that he had this book, and that his son, who, as I said, had been a guest with us here, Ronan Farrow, had said he'd rather if the book wasn't published, and he was pretty peeved about it. But they've pulped it. They've said, no, it's gone. The book, the employees staged a walkout in New York and Boston to protest against the publication. Ronan Farrow and his sister Dylan had condemned it, and they said, no, we're going to get rid of it. The book was called Apropos of Nothing, and they said pulping it was a difficult one. And they're going to return the rights to the book to Woody Allen, say, good luck with that, no thanks. And he lost a four-film deal with Amazon last November following comments he made about the hashtag MeToo movement. So that all ends in tears for Woody Allen, and no doubt for others around him who are reflecting on his career. And so that's just apropos of something we mentioned, as it happens, last week. Funny enough, in the same zone, in the sense that James Bond is to be confronted by women he has harassed in the workplace. Now, this is a fictional movie character, is going to be confronted by those he harassed in the new film No Time to Die. And the womanizing character's behavior towards his female colleagues is questioned in the context of the Me Too age, according to Lashana Lynch, who plays a new spy called Nomi. And she admitted she would have felt uncomfortable playing a traditional Bond girl, and No Time to Die has updated the franchise's view towards women for a more equal age. They've also updated the Wombles, much to the chagrin of the Wombles creator's family, who said, no, she wrote that. She didn't write that. But the other people are saying, but that is more appropriate than that. And then we're into that whole, excuse me, Enid Blyton thing. Even if I catch my throat a tiny bit and go, excuse me, oh God, he's got it. There's a fishing tackle shop in Temple Bar. I don't know if you've ever been to Temple Bar, if you passed through it, but this shop stands like a beacon to old-fashioned shopping experiences. I was going to say values, but there is an element to that. And it kind of tallies a little bit with our chat about fishing last week. We mentioned this push to get women fishing on the lakes of Ireland and on the rivers of Ireland. And we had lovely chats about fishing on the show last week. But Rory's Fishing Tackle is not only the oldest shop in Dublin's Temple Bar, it was the only shop in the area for a long time. When the place was just warehouses and departments, the shop got in there. 60 years in operation this week. So congratulations to them. It's a beautiful little shop. Been in there before, bought a few things. In fact, I'll tell you who else has been in there. There's a number of famous people. Bill Clinton was there, Tom Cruise, Ozzy Osbourne, and of course, Jack Charlton. More of him anon. Rory Harkin started it all out, and he did something pretty smart. He bought the premises outright in 1989, just before the Temple Bar thing emerged. So if he had to pay rates or rent this time around, he'd probably be in a different story altogether. But he's passed the torch on to his daughter, Mary, who continues the tradition at pace. So good luck to them and happy birthday. That's a very, very nice story indeed. And there's been lots of talk of the documentary on tonight, The Boys in Green, which is on tonight and next Monday on RT1 at 9:30. Great ad on the TV for it. Whoever put that together did a lovely job on it. And the 42.ie reporting on it today remind us that it's directed by Ross Whittaker, who we spoke to here about Katie, which was a magnificent documentary. So I can only presume it is a superb. And produced by Loose Horse, the company brought us The Man Who Wanted to Fly, which we featured on The Late Late Show. But the film, I didn't realise it was initially conceived as a retrospective on the Lansdowne riots of 1995, one of the most depressing nights out, I think, as in Irish sporting history. But it expanded there to encompass the whole Charlton area. And they touch on the fact that the Irish supporters were just magnificent, and they were as much the image of this era as the football team, and largely created in opposition to the culture of English hooliganism that the competition organisers tried to confine to the island of Sicily, like their own special virus. And English newspapers were writing big articles about the Irish fans and their behaviour, wondering why the English fans couldn't behave like that. And of course, we loved that. And that'll be reflected on the show tonight, The Boys in Green, the documentary tonight. It looks like a terrific documentary. And every time we touch on it, whether it was Niall Quinn recently on the show, we play a clip of it. It just fills our heart. It's like that Pavlov's dog of emotional reaction to something beautiful. You can never have enough Italian 90 in your life. I think that's fair to say. Also tonight, if you want to have a little look at something on TV, University Challenge, right? The quiz no one can get an answer correct to. I don't think I've ever, I might get one or two, just something that might be close to my heart I'll get an answer to, but it's really tough. But anyway, quarterfinals on tonight. I wasn't aware of this, except that it was somebody alerted me to the fact that when they get to Imperial College London, you know, Imperial College London, and you'll hear the name of MacNeil. Conor MacNeil is the name of the young man who is an Irish student on the Imperial College team. He's doing a PhD in computer science. So here's what I'm saying to you. Italian 90, great. This is like a nerdy version of it in some way. We like winning, and we'll take a win wherever we can get it. So he's on tonight. If he can win in this University Challenge quarterfinal tonight at 8:30, we're in. We're into the semi-final. So let's all join forces tonight and watch this, or at least just find out if we won or not, and we'll see where we go. But it's at 8:30 on BBC Two tonight. You can watch that. Then watch what everyone is doing, which is watching the 9 o'clock news, to find out how many people have the thing. And then at 9:30, we'll all watch Jack Charlton and the Boys in Green so we can all relax. Because we need a salve. It's like the Rock and Roll Kids on Friday night. Then the choir of the audience, they were magnificent, just singing with Charlie and Paul. And we all needed that. Just two lovely gentlemen with an absolutely beautiful song. As we had wonderful music from Leslie Roy, our new Eurovision artist, who's going to do very well, I have no doubt. And we had Paul Heaton and Jackie Abbott. If I didn't do that 1,000 times, wow, to be sitting down at the piano with them singing right beside me, it was an absolute joy. This is an unusual choice of track from them in that it's not one of their original hits, it's a cover, but it's a beautiful song for a Monday morning. just a beautiful combination of voices. And like they said themselves, like the Everly Brothers, like Paul and Charlie and Jackie and Paul. Beautiful. Okay. I can't bear, says Mary, that anyone would be unkind to Barry Keoghan. As someone who worked in the foster care system, I have such admiration for how he has come through with life challenges. I also greatly respect his talent. Long and happy life to him. You couldn't meet a nicer fella. I'm sorry for banging on, but it's just the truth. And I have great fondness for him and admiration for him. So I think it's great. We came away from it, actually, with a promise to go for a pint in Summerhill in Dublin. And that is a part of the country. We were laughing because it's the city where my grandfather would have been born back in 1901. And we were joking about that. But we agreed that the granny would come with us. If we were going out, we're going out. And that's the point of that story. Eric the Birdman Dempsey, one of the great ornithological advocates in this country, was on to say, well said regarding Barry. I met him as a young lad when I visited his school to talk about birds and the environment. I was struck by his intelligence and curiosity in the world around him. He's a super guy and delighted he's doing so well. Thanks, Eric, and keep going. Flying with wings, thankfully. It's one thing, an observation I was making this morning to my friends upstairs, which was the happiest people as guests on The Late Late Show who leave are those who are not on Twitter. And I think I can say that with hand on heart, because no matter how good you are as a guest, no matter how splendid you are as a singer, no matter how excellent you are as a guest on the show, there will always be people. There will always be creatures. And they go on the phone in the green room, and then they turn left at Greenland, and it's the wrong way to be. And it's happy people who are not on that awful platform when it's awful are the ones, because there are no rules. You can just write anything, blah, blah, blah. You know that bit, but the happy ones are the ones who aren't reading it. I'm baffled, says the text, if we are now being told to bump elbows instead of a handshake. Have the people suggesting this forgotten that they're the same elbows we are told to cough and sneeze into? Perhaps a wave or a nod would suffice. We could be here all day talking about those sorts of things, but elbows it is for now. Let me mention the support line that I mentioned for Alone, for older people, because it's not 112. That was a miss. Or at least it doesn't really matter about that. The point is that the line's open and the number is kind of complicated, but I'll give it to you anyway. It's 0818-222-024. You can rewind on the playback if you need to hear that number again, but it's Alone, 0818-222-024. Plenty of hand sanitizer in Pennies, Ryan, and only 150. There you go. Off you go to Pennies. In the toilet roll, of course, if you missed that, there was a battle over a toilet roll in Australia. In the toilet roll, a court appearance, a Texas. I wonder, did they plead quilty or not quilty? You can have that. You can have that for nothing. That's a great gag. Two practical corona suggestions. Could the tap limit on bank cards be increased for a few weeks? And secondly, to remind one not to bring your hand up to your face, why not put some perfume or something odorous on the tips of your fingers, says Eamon in Cork. Two very practical suggestions. And the tap thing is it's 30 euro, isn't it? So, yeah, a little increase on the band will be nice. My daughter is in Imperial College too, says Elaine. She's studying physics in second year. Best regards. That's exciting. Well, you know what she has to do. Keep going. And now another. What I have noticed over the years as a primary teacher is how acceptable nastiness has become, says Anne. I'm no longer shocked, unfortunately. Hours in school are spent trying to sort out comments made online by 10-year-olds outside school time. Try being a teacher for open season. God help you. We were out on Saturday night, says Ella, and my husband went to the gents and a chap did his business and walked straight out. That's life. That's what all the people say, because that's happening more and more, or at least it'll always happen, unfortunately. Some people are just gross. Rachel was on. Your interview with Barry Keoghan and Niamh Alger was natural. It was honest. And I think Barry Keoghan's shy demeanour is refreshing and heartwarming. I know a lot of extremely shy people who are in the public eye, and I think it's an endearing quality. It's a reminder of how humble and honest human beings are. You have that. That is a very perceptive take on the story. So I'm glad you saw what I think most decent, kind human beings saw. Right, 51551 is the text number. Siobhan says, what is the name of the sports commentator at the start of the promo for the Boys in Green program? That I don't know. I always associate George Hamilton with that time of year, but we'll find out for you. We'll find it in the next little while, I can tell you. In a few minutes, we're going to be talking to Father Ray Kelly, who was voted out last night with Kylie Vincent. And he's been one of the more interesting additions to the dancing world. And we've lots of places to go with him. If you have a question for him, you can send them in to 51551. Delighted to hear from you on that, and looking forward to welcoming Ray and Kylie into the studio in a few more minutes. But I do want to tell you about a book that I'm reading that I love. You know when you get to a book that you just go, yeah, brilliant. And actually, it was one of my brothers recommended it casually last week and said, have you read this one? He said, you loved The Lost Policeman, The Lost Postman by Faulkner O'Driscoll. I said, I did. And I told everyone to read it and suggested it. He said, this is in the same zone. So if you like true crime as such, but Irish style. So we talked about The Suspicions of Mr. Whicher, or The Five, which is all Victoriana in the UK. This one is called, and you may have read it, by the way. It's not new, but it is a brilliant, very brilliant history. It's set in a period of Irish history that is now becoming heading into the centenary. We're talking about the Civil War of Independence, and of course the Civil War and the complexities of all of that. But that's the macro. Then the micro is a priest in Leitrim who may or may not have fathered a child with his housekeeper, and who may or may not have been involved in the murder of a local doctor called Dr. Muldoon. Now, if you know the story, forgive me, but if you don't, pick it up today. Go to your local library, go to your local independent bookshop, go to wherever you can get it, and I think you'll really love it. If you're interested in Irish history, if you're interested in a good social, very well researched, the bibliography on it is impeccable, the archive in it is wonderful. This is The Murder of Dr. Muldoon, A Suspect Priest, A Widow's Fight for Justice, and it's by Ken Boyle and Tim Desmond. And I'm telling you, this is one of those great reads that is very well told. There's no pretentiousness to it, and it completely pricks up your ears to the sensitivities of that time as well. 1923, as it happens, around this time of the year, it's all kind of into February, March, April, and you'll get through it at a clip, but comes with the greatest recommendation, if possible. The Murder of Dr. Muldoon is where you need to be in that regard. A little bit older, I'm a bit behind the curve on this, I know that, but it just came into my life at the weekend, and it's just tremendous. Brendan O'Reilly is the name. Oh, Brendan O'Reilly, of course, because he features. There's footage of him in that ad for it as well. He's the sports commentator. Thank you for telling us that, because that's very, very helpful. Now let's take a break, and then we'll bring in Father Ray.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Right, big shout out to Nadia Horahan, who was the Irish female student in University Challenge this year for Cambridge University. Good on her from a proud auntie. I didn't know that. Like you, I love University Challenge. I get so excited even if I give the same wrong answer as the students. I love it. Drama in Hollywood, says Maureen from Mohill. They thought that John Travolta had COVID-19, but it turned out it was only a Saturday night fever, and I'm glad he's staying alive. I'll give it to you because it's Monday. You can have that. All right, 51551. I thought Barry Keoghan, says the tech, was so natural and lovely on the late and Friday. Usually the nasty people just begrudge someone who's made something of themselves, and unfortunately Irish people are guilty of that. Keep doing what you're doing, Barry. You're inspiring many young people to follow in your footsteps. Footsteps of determination, ambition and hard work. Well said. 51551. That'll be the text number. You can email ryan@rte.ie. Little Green Cars and My Love Took Me Down to the River to Silence Me. Okay, 51551, Dancing with the Stars, says Dennis, is not about how nice or holy you are, it's about how you dance. He was the cause of very good dancers losing their place. That's a bit of fun as well. Father Ray should, says Eta, should have gone to Pope Francis for dance lessons, especially the Argentine tango. If the Pope knows how to dance, why can't other clergy? Yeah, it may have been his pre-papal days, he was handy with the tango. We're back in a moment. Marion Waterford says, love Father Ray. My son, who normally has no time for the church or clergy, really likes him and voted twice for him last night. And he would love to see him representing us in the Eurovision next year. Wow, good Lord. Taking it somewhere else entirely. And Tony Kinsale says, please let people listening to not to be getting into the abuse and shouting at people that what other people think of them is none of their business. Drive on regardless. And the senders of that junk are not worth the effort. And that's a wise thought indeed. That's where we're going to leave it for today. Thank you for all those texts and comments and thoughts. They're always welcome. And you can continue sending them in to us all afternoon into the night on ryan@rte.ie. In the meantime, stay tuned for Sean O'Rourke. Have a great old day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.